Dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And we're continuing looking at Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, mainly verse 1. And we're also looking at, that's our main verse, principal verse. And we're also looking at and continuing with Psalm 119, where we find the word perfect and walk in the same verse. So just real quick, let me read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when the Lord was, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, that is El Shaddai, walk, Strong's number 1980, Chalak, before me, before my face, and be thou perfect. Strong's number 8549, Tamim. And so those are the two terms we're looking at, walk and perfect. And in Psalm 119, I'll just go ahead and read verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled, the Tamim, the perfect, in the way, who walk, Halak, in the law of the Lord, the Torah, who walk in the Torah, basically, who walk in, because we were looking at in our last class, who walk in the testimony, or the ultimate, who walk in the living word, Christ himself. Just as the Apostle Paul would say, for it is in him that we live, move, and have our being. So that's the blessedness, excuse me. And once again, this psalm starts with Aleph, the first Hebrew letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and ends with Tau or Tav. And so in the next verse I want to read, well, actually, let me just read the first eight verses under Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled, that is damim, in the way, who walk, that is halak, in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. And I love that. It's the heart is everything. Not with the mind, not with the intellect, not with, though we will do that, but with the heart. Ultimately, it boils down to the heart, because it's the heart that must turn to the Lord. Okay, who seek him with the whole heart. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us, verse 4, to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Verse 6, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And then the psalm goes on. And once again, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus himself declaring this. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, not only the Aleph and Tau, or Tav, but the Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And then he goes on to say, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, that is to say, the eternal. And then he says, the Almighty. So I love that because he brings this revelation of himself as the Almighty into view, in conjunction with the beginning and the end. Once again, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. I am the Almighty El Shaddai, God. I love that. So today what I wanted to do was look at a Bible commentary and a couple of definitions as well and make my own comments. And it took me a while. I'll just say this real quick. If you're ever reading a reference or reading something in the scripture and something grabs your attention, jot down, immediately jot down the reference where you found it. because you will be looking for it later. I don't know how many, I probably spent a couple hours looking for this reference that I'll read in a second, but I'm thankful that I finally found it because I like giving references. but what I want to do first is read this commentary, and it is, I believe, it's Wiersbe's Expository Outlines on the Old and New Testament. That's what I think it is. I don't have it in English, but I do have it in Spanish, and in Spanish it's called Bosquejos Expositivos de la Biblia, Antiguo Testamento y Nuevo Testamento by Warren W. Wiersbe. So there you go. I used Google Translate. That's the closest thing I came to. Like I said, I don't have it in my English library. I do have it in my Spanish library, but Lord willing, I'll maybe get it in my English library. But so what I'm going to do is read this Spanish commentary and translate it for you because I thought his comments were really good. And well, one of the main reasons why I thought that was because I saw that what he was declaring is basically what was already on my heart concerning Psalm 119. So let me just go ahead and read here. All right, here we go. In several ways, this psalm is very special. It's the longest psalm, 176 verses, and it is an acrostic that follows the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 sections are in this psalm. And basically, in each 22 sections, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each section is one of the letters. The first one, Aleph. In the next section, I think it was Bet, something like that. The next, yeah, Bet. And the third, then Gimel, and then it goes on throughout the whole Hebrew alphabet. So each section is 8 verses. Well, we haven't gotten there yet, but that's what it ends up being. But basically, it follows the Hebrew alphabet. If I would say, if it would be in English, it would be something like this. The first section, which would be 8 verses, all would begin with the letter A. Each verse would begin with the letter A. The next section, which would be the next set of 8 verses, all would begin with the letter B. All 8 verses, the letter B, and so forth and so on, till you got to Z, all right? So the commentary goes on to say, in the Hebrew alphabet, each verse of each section begins with that Hebrew letter, basically what I just said. Then it goes, it says at the end of this paragraph, it says, the Jews did this to help them memorize the scriptures and thus meditate on the word of God. So he did it like, we know that, you know, I speak English, so that's my primary language. So I know the alphabet, but to learn something in such a, what's the word? Can't think of the word. Sequential order, as like the order of the alphabet, would make it easier than learning it in some different order. But it's placed in order, basically. So it does help with memorization. And the purpose for that was to be able to meditate upon the word of God. Okay. Goes on to say, still continuing with Wiersbe's expository outlines on the Old and New Testament. We don't know who wrote the psalm. And I think in several different commentators and study Bibles, it says that it's a psalm of David. Others believe it's a psalm of Ezra when they were coming back from the captivity, basically to encourage the people of God when they're returning back from the captivity to Jerusalem. But this goes on to say, we don't know who wrote the psalm, though the writer references himself several times. He suffered because he loved the law of the Lord. And then it goes on. And here's where we start with the number 8. With each verse, there's a reference to God. With each verse, there's a reference to God. The number 8 appears in the whole psalm, or throughout the whole psalm. Each section has 8 verses. There are mentioned 8 special names for the Word of God. There are 8 symbols. There are 8 symbols given for the Word. The believer has 8 responsibilities with the Word. The Word, and then it goes on to define the number 8. The word 8 in Hebrew literally signifies abundance, more than sufficient. The number of new beginnings, and that rejoiced my own heart, because remember, this is with our principal verse in Genesis chapter 17. This is another major shift in the walk of Abram with the Lord. Remember, up until this time, verse 16 into verse 17, Abram is still caught up with what Abram hath produced for God, for the Lord. What Abram and Sarai were able to do in their conniving, in their ability, in man's power, for the Lord. Yes, it was for the Lord. And here's a major shift going on when the Lord appears and says, I am El Shaddai, all powerful, all able, all capable, all abundant, Almighty God, El Shaddai. And so I just love this here. And I'll go ahead and just read my own commentary. And it's actually for Genesis, not necessarily Psalm 19, but I can apply it to Psalm 19 as well, just because of the mention of this term 8 within that, the entirety of the psalm. But my comment is basically on Genesis chapter 17, verse 12, where... let's go ahead and just go there real quick. Genesis 17, 12. And this is the Lord speaking to Abram concerning the covenant. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. And here's my own commentary. The number 8 is the number of the new creation. Not flesh, but spirit. Now remember, being circumcised, what happens is that the flesh is cut away. That's basically what circumcision is. The flesh is cut away. Not only that, the Lord really specifically says on the 8th day. And if you think of our current calendar, even the Jewish calendar, I believe, it's a 7-day, the natural creation is a 7-day thing. God creates from day 1 to day 6. Day 7, he rests. That is the natural creation. That is the... the creation of natural sight and natural sound, the temporal creation below, 7 days. So, and here's introduced an 8th day, not day one, like as the beginning, like another day for a following week. No, the Lord's real specific. The 8th day, representing not the natural creation, but the new creation, where the flesh is not found. And see, once again, just with Abram here. Here is Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and they are Well, to some degree, they're happy. Of course, Sarai wasn't too happy with Hagar, but they have produced something in the flesh. Abram is happy with that. He believes he has what God has spoken, what God has promised. He believes he has it in view because Ishmael is what Abram has in view. But it's still the flesh. And God is basically saying the flesh on the eighth day is to be cut away. Now, we'll get to it later, looking at the number 13, and I've kind of mentioned it in a previous class. Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised, and that number 13 is very significant. Like I said, we'll get to it later when in our reading we get to that part. But in looking at this, they were all cut, the flesh was all cut away, that day. Abram was circumcised, Ishmael was circumcised, all the males in Abram's household were circumcised that day. But one of the very, if the very, not one of, but the very first mention of a child being circumcised on the eighth day recorded in the scriptures is Isaac. Isaac, who of course is a testimony of Christ himself. New creation. Nothing of the old. Nothing of the flesh. And once again, the Lord is bringing the heart of Abram, yet once again, from man, from I, from Abram, to not I, but Christ. The first man, Adam, of the flesh, of the earth, earthy, the second man, the Spirit, the Lord from heaven. So that's what's going on right there. Let's see. Okay, I finished reading that commentary, but I did want to make mention of my own comments that I had. Oh no, I didn't finish reading it. Whoops. I'll go on. Sorry about that. But that's after all these mentions of the number eight. And that's what got my attention when I read the Spanish commentaries, like, oh my gosh, it's a new creation. Bringing Abram's heart from the flesh, from the natural creation, the old creation, the Adamic creation, to the new creation of God, wherein only one life is found, wherein only one source is found. And I think I mentioned in our last class, born of the flesh, Adam is the source. The seed is Adam, the Adam man, the first man Adam. But for the one who's born again, Christ is the source, the seed, the incorruptible seed, born of the incorruptible seed, born of the incorruptible seed of God, who Christ is. All right. So going back to Wiersbe's expository outline on the Old Testament and New Testament for Psalm 119. It is as though the writer was saying, I love this, the word of God is sufficient. I would say the word of God is more than sufficient because El Shaddai is more than enough. Remember when Philip, one of the disciples, towards the end of the Gospel of John, comes to Jesus and he basically says this, show us the Father and that's sufficient. It's sufficient. Just show us the Father and that is sufficient for us. And the Lord's response is simply, have I not been with you for such a long time, basically? And you've not known me, Philip. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Basically, Jesus is saying this, if you have seen me, if you have recognized me, if you have known me, you have seen the sufficiency that you need. that you look for, that you long for. El Shaddai. All right, I just love this. I want to go back to my notes on El Shaddai just to read all those definitions, but I'm not going to do that. You can, though. So going on with that commentary of Wiersbe, if you have the scriptures, that is all you need for life and holiness. So if you have the scriptures, that's all you need for life and holiness. And I would say because the scriptures are the testimony of Jesus Christ, directing our heart unto the life and the Holy One who Christ himself is. All right. It goes on. The commentator goes on. In truth, the Bible points out Christ. It's very true. Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. It doesn't declare anything else. It brings nothing else into view before the heart. Though man brings something else into view, the purpose and intent of the scriptures bring Christ into view. All right? Oh, I love this. Let me read that again. In truth, the Bible points out Christ. He is the living word. Of which the written word speaks. Now, can't you see why I love this commentator? I'm thinking of the last class we just did. All right, going on. It's certain, in a certain sense, Psalm 119 is an extension of Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, and I didn't read that psalm. And this goes on to say, note the eight titles, the eight basic titles of the Bible in the first nine verses of the psalm. The law of Jehovah, the law of the Lord, testimonies, ways, way, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. These are repeated several times, many times, in the whole psalm, in the entire psalm. So there's our commentary by Warren Wiersbe for Psalm 119. Oh, yeah. And in reading that, like I said, I went, after I read that psalm in Spanish, I began searching for, after I read the commentary in Spanish, I began searching for it in English. And so I read a lot, looking for prices and stuff, and I read a lot of reviews on it. And what I want to read, because it took me a while to find this again, after having read it the first time, this is, I'm calling this Accordance Bible Commentary Review, because that's basically what it is, for Warren Wiersbe's B Series. And that's where I read it. It was January the 13th, 2015, by Richard Mansfield. And this is what he says. And that can be found at accordancebible.com under the B series by Warren Wiersbe. Like B, not like the letter B, but B-E, the word B. So he says some things, and then he goes on to say this. Basically, he was looking at a particular word in James, in the book of James, where it's talking about the word perfect. The word is perfect that he was looking at in the book of James. And it goes on to say, my issue was with that word perfect, which I knew I was not and didn't feel I ever would be. I would never be perfect, basically. I had never had a Greek class, so I had no understanding of the underlying word, which is teleos, which some translations, such as the NIV, better translated as mature. And it goes on to say, fortunately, Wiersbe was able to help me understand the concept that James was trying to get across. In the aptly named Be Mature, Wiersbe explained, and that's one of the commentaries, Be Mature, in the B series. He's, and this is like an excerpt from that. It says, but James was not discussing an array of miscellaneous problems. All of these problems had a common cause, spiritual immaturity. The heart submitted to the understanding, to the knowledge of a child. All right. These Christians, that was just my insert right there, going on with that commentary. These Christians simply were not growing up. This gives us a hint to the basic theme of this letter, the marks of maturity in the Christian life. James used the word perfect several times, a word that means mature, complete. And then it says, see James chapter 1, verse 4. And then it goes on, verse 25, chapter 2, verse 22, chapter 3, verse 2. And then it goes on to say, by a perfect man, in James chapter 3, verse 2, James did not mean a sinless man, but rather one who is mature, balanced, grown up. And so, I think it was either our last class or one of our previous classes where I was sharing this. And forgive me if it wasn't during this series. It might be during another series that I'm currently doing as well. But so long as the heart has something other than Christ in view, then the heart is submitted unto the knowledge of man, which the Apostle Paul would call it the being a child. Born again, but in regard to knowledge, children in the Lord. And this is the thing, is we are not going to grow up by knowing more things. That's not growth. In fact, I would say growth is pretty immediate when the heart turns to the Lord. Because looking at Abram, so we're still with Abram, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, so long as he has Ishmael in view, then to some degree in Abram's heart, it is I and my produce for God, I and my seed for God, I and my ability, my strength, my power for God. Is God helps me, but it's still I. And see, that's the understanding of a child. Though we know a lot of things, brothers and sisters, it requires a miracle to bring our heart unto the understanding of the Son of God, where what our heart is submitted unto, the knowledge that our heart is submitted unto is not I, but Christ, not my ability, but El Shaddai, not my seed after my kind, but the seed of God, his kind. Remember? That which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. So I love it how it's bringing just a lot of things into view. I did want to also just look at James chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Now, I looked at this, and we'll probably look at it, which we will, in the Septuagint, just to see if this word that James is using for perfect, telioi, is the same word that the Lord is using in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, walk before me and be thou perfect. I did look it up. I did check it out in the Septuagint. It's not the same word, but it still bears looking at. Because I looked at it in one of the Bible dictionaries. So this is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a bondservant of the Lord, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, just think of Abram, all right? The Lord spoke to Abram. The Lord gave Abram a promise concerning a seed, an heir. a son. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, where we wait upon the Lord. That's patience. And with our example with Abram, it was specifically not waiting on what the Lord would do, in a sense, but waiting upon the Lord. Because, once again, brothers and sisters, Isaac is a testimony of Christ. And we know that at first, Abram jumped the gun. Abram took the initiative. And by the ability of man, the arm of the flesh, the strength of the flesh, the power of man that comes straight out of Egypt, the abode of the dead, Hagar, Abram produces after his own kind, not what God was after. So once again, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, here's telioi, and complete, lacking nothing. And I love that, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. I'm still looking at this in the context of Abram, Genesis chapter 17, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing in that which pertains to the knowledge of God. Lacking nothing in knowledge. Because remember, the Lord appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he even dwelt in Haran. That means even before he was in Canaan. When the God of glory first appeared, listen, brothers and sisters, Abram was lacking nothing. But he continued with his heart submitted to ignorance. Ignorance of things? No, he knew a lot of things. He knew plenty of things. He knew how to create an Ishmael. Took a lot of work, took a lot of thinking, but they finally figured it out, came to a solution. Ta-da, Ishmael. Now, he knew a lot, but concerning that which is of God, concerning God himself, ignorant. Once again, the verse. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, telioi, and complete, lacking nothing. Where the heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, for the one who is born again, finally comes to turn, listen, and behold all sufficiency, all ability, all power, all capability in El Shaddai, Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Almighty. Finding there is no lack here. See, and here's the thing, brothers and sisters, and I shared this a long time ago, and it's looking at a beautiful testimony with Joseph when Joseph was already in Egypt and raised basically to power, where Joseph now has the keys of hell and of death, where he is the Lord of both the living and the dead. He calls the shots. And there began to be the famine in the rest of the land. Brothers and sisters, there is no famine wherever Joseph is found. There is only famine where Joseph is not found. So therefore, all Israel, Jacob, and his sons had to come to Joseph, because there is no lack with Joseph. Lacking nothing. For us who are born again, if our heart is directed and set below, brothers and sisters, All we see, all we know is lack. Lack of this, lack of that. And then there goes our prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, but it's always trying to bring God down into our situation, into our circumstance. But the Spirit of God is continually directing the heart, once again, above, where there is no lack, where our life, who Christ himself is found. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, telioi, and complete, lacking nothing. Nothing of the wisdom of God lacking. Nothing of the knowledge of God lacking. Nothing of the understanding of God lacking. Therefore, it is not I, but Christ. Christ, who is the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, who was, who is to come, the Eternal, the Almighty, lacking nothing, more than abundant, more than able, more than capable. And then I have another comment I've got. As in reality, so also in knowledge, the heart submitted unto the true source, submitted unto the knowledge of God. Coming from the understanding, the knowledge of a child, unto the knowledge of the Son. I love this. I love this. See, because when our hearts are submitted unto the knowledge of man, then we're drawing from a source that's not present. We're drawing from a well that's not present. Remember, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, Pharaoh was not present. Yet they continued in ignorance, drawing from that source. That nature, that character that is not present, that does not govern anymore. Remember, once again, speaking of Christ himself, he was in the church in the wilderness. A new head, a new king is present. All right, so going on. So what I want to do here is let's go ahead and look at the Septuagint I'm not even there. I lost it. Give me a second here. Nope, that wasn't it. I know it's here somewhere. There we go. No. Oh, it's because I'm not in the... Excuse me. I know I can't find it. I'm not in the Old Testament. Of course it's not going to show up. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Okay, open up the parallel, move it to Bibles, and select the Septuagint again. So the Septuagint is basically the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Not Hebrew, but the Greek translation. So you have to be in the Old Testament to read the Septuagint. And they translated it into English as well. But I was in the New Testament where that's not the Septuagint. All right, so anyway... So, let me see. I'll go ahead and see if I can't find an English translation of the Septuagint. Yeah, the Brenton translation. And Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am thy God. Be well-pleasing before me and be blameless. And that's the word we're going to be looking at, blameless. And... let me get to it. I'm looking at the Septuagint now. And give me a second. Pleasing before me, even before me, Be born. Oh, I love that. Be born blameless. Thinking of our last class, but I'll just go ahead and go on. Blameless. It is amementos. 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 Something like that in the Greek. And I'm going to go ahead and amplify that. It's Strong's number 273. Amementos. Those. All right. What I want us to look at is, I had to reinstall my whole library, so everything's a little out of order. The New Testament Word Study Dictionary, which is the complete word study dictionary of the New Testament. That's what I want us to look at for this term. Strong number 273, amemptos. All right. Genitive. Amemptau, masculine, feminine, neuter, adjective from the privative, and then A, number one, without, and memphomai, to find fault, without, and memphomai, excuse me, to find fault. So basically, without finding fault. Goes on to say blameless, and it gives several different references. Luke 1:6, Philippians 2:15, Philippians 3:6, derivative, I guess, amemptos, unblameably, unblemished for synonym, unspotted, the amomas, the unblemished, maybe amemptos, unblamed, without spot, legally irreproachable. Now, just think of Abram, right? In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Guiltless, blameless, without guile, without being bad in oneself, without foreign mixture. Sincere, harmless, single, without duplicity, without blemish. This is one who is mature. This is one whose heart has been directed by the Lord Himself to discover Christ Jesus as the Almighty El Shaddai. This is the Lord revealing Himself as El Shaddai. Coming from the child, the knowledge of a child, to the knowledge of the Son of God. From my knowledge, our knowledge, yes, our knowledge, brothers and sisters, unto the knowledge of God, who Christ Himself is. At that point, I love this one, without foreign mixture. Up unto that point, brothers and sisters, there is what we have and what we call Ishmael. The product of foreign mixture, literally. That came out of Abram and Hagar, not Sarai. Unblemished. So when the Lord appears and declares Himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty, here's Abram completely ignorant that he's at fault. Completely. I mean, the Lord's still speaking to him concerning a seed, an heir, and he's looking basically straight at Ishmael and saying, I've got it. And he's completely at fault because he's looking at the wrong seed. There is duplicity. His eye at this moment is not single. But the Lord knows man. The Lord takes the initiative. The Lord knew this even before He appeared. The Lord knew where Abram's heart was directed. It's the Lord who takes the initiative, brothers and sisters. It's the Lord who is so merciful that declares Himself as who He is, that reveals Himself as who He is, who makes known the truth whom He Himself is in the midst of our ignorance, in the midst of our, what's another word? going astray, waywardness. The Lord steps in because only the Lord can. No one else can. And in his loving kindness, he does this, brothers and sisters. Doesn't have to do this. No, he doesn't have to do this. But he does. Thank you, Lord. All right. Going on. So that was with the complete word study dictionary of the New Testament for that term, perfect, amemptos, Strong's number 273, that we find in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 from the Septuagint. All right. Now, going back to James, I want us to look at how they translated, how they have the word perfect. It's telioi, Strong's number 5046. So I just wanted to look at just a couple definitions on that term. And this is the Strong's Greek dictionary for the word telioi, or telios. It's basically me, Strong's number 5046, from Strong's number 5056, complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral character, etc. Neuter as noun with Strong's number 3588, completeness, translated into the English as of full age, a man, perfect. Yeah, we'll look at some of these verses in a second. Yep, they're coming up. This is Vine's complete expository dictionary of the New Testament words for the term. Well, the way I found it was actually by looking up a Strong's number 5046, but it's under the title man. So if you've got a Vine's dictionary, you can type in man, and it'll be definition number 5, telios, Strong's number 5046, and it says this, perfect is translated men in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes. But in understanding be mature. This is the New King James Version. Be mature. I love that. Be mature in understanding. All right. Well, okay, I'll just read. This is another Vine's definition. And the way you get to this definition is by searching the word age. It's under B, adjectives, and it's number 2, telios, Strong's number 5046. It's basically complete, perfect from telos, and an end is translated of full age. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, King James Version, the Revised Version is full-grown man. Let me just look at that. I'm not sure if I saw that reference. Looked at it or not. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I would say whether it's death or life. That's just my interpretation, having not studied it out. That's just my comment at this time. All right. Now, what I did want us to look at is another verse where that same word, perfect, Strong's number 5046, in a different form, teleon, is found, and forgive me all my pronunciation of this. This is 1 Corinthians, and I love this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 through 13. Verse 9. The Apostle Paul, now, I'll just read it, and what we can think, or what we what I've thought in times past was basically, okay, well, this is what it is, and someday. And yet the Apostle Paul, I believe, is declaring, this is what it was for me, but not now. Now, and the now is always, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus. This is the now. All right, so going on with verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but, I love that. But when that which is perfect has come, there's our word, teleoion, something like that, has come. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. My heart is still all over Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Knowing in part versus knowing, versus the perfect knowing being come. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11. When I was a child, and then he goes on to expound on it. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or better still, when I beheld the man, I put away childish things. And I've looked at this verse before, and I haven't studied it recently, but to me, basically, is in my own heart, the child was put away. Because now, listen to the way I say this, it is no longer I, but Christ who liveth in me. My ignorance was put away. That knowledge that governs the child was put away by the knowledge of the Son. It goes on. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Our knowing, once again, our knowing is ignorance. Why do I say that? Because God knows the truth. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. And then it goes on to say, thank you, Jesus. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he unto whom he will reveal him. But it is always either going to be the knowledge of man, man's knowledge, man's knowing, or it will be the knowledge of God, God's knowing. God knows his Son. Now I know in part, but then shall I know just as I am known. God, for us who are born again, God knows our life, who Christ is. God knows the truth, whether we know the truth or not. Now, of course, once again, God desires that we know the truth. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love being, I believe, Christ himself, who is the love of God. All right, now, let's see. I came across this, like I said, when I was doing a Strong's number search in the Vine's dictionary. And I don't know if it's a typo or why it showed up, but I searched all these verses out, and every single verse, all the references that are mentioned in this definition are for Strong's number 5046, Telios, I think it was. Yeah, Telioi. But here's Vine's dictionary. And it's under the word perfect, and you can search this out also, under the word perfect, under adjectives and verb, perfectly, letter A, adjectives, number one, telios. That's how they have it transliterated, or telios, telioi, teli, tele, teleios. There we go. Forgive me for my pronunciation of that. It's with a omega, not an omicron. But they have Strong's number 5049. And yet every single reference that's referenced here is for Strong's number 5046 that we've been looking at. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Signifies having reached its end. Remember in the book of Revelation how Jesus presents himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Basically, the Lord who is, says the Lord, the Almighty, the Eternal, the Almighty, signifies having reached its end, telos, finished, complete, perfect. It is used, I guess that's either a number one or a letter I, of persons primary of physical development, then with ethical import, fully grown, mature. Number one, or excuse me, it's not number one, it's 1 Corinthians. I think we might have been there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age below, nor of the rulers of this age below who are coming to nothing. So men, marginal, of full age, all these references are in reference to that term, telios. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we, I love this one. And I'll start with verse 11. Because we know this verse. He himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Once again, if the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, it is without doubt designed of God to direct and bring the heart unto the person of Christ his Son. And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, there's our term, perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love this. This is Philippians chapter 3. Verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, there's our word, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this unto you. And right before that, it says, I press, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Continually above, continually above. There's other verses I could keep on reading here. If you can hear that, my iPad has just finished charging. There you go. So many more verses we could read, but just once again, in all of this, bringing Abram's heart at this particular time, at this particular moment, from the natural creation, from where is found the knowledge of a child, unto the new creation, wherein is found the knowledge of the Son of God, where it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Not my mind, not my knowledge, not my ability, not my power, not my thought, not my ways, not I. So, all from Psalm 119 and Genesis chapter 17 and James chapter 1, verse 4. So that might have been a lot of information, but I just rejoiced in reading all over it because it's like causing Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 just to bloom for me. So Lord bless. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.